This is Action Podcast with Paul Bailey and Chris Jansen.
So, Paul, I was just looking back on the blog posting I put in this week about worry. We're touching on the aspect and the emotion of worry. It really got me thinking, not only just from what I said in the blog post, but about the state of worry. And it's certainly an area that anyone and all of us find ourselves in at a certain point in time, but it's amazing how powerful worry can be and how sometimes, I guess, endless in some situations, how endless the state of worry can be. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. I seem to have inherited my father's worry gene somewhere along the line.
It sometimes can feel genetic, can't it?
It certainly does. And I can often remember my father being very worried about work and, you know, income and the kids and the house moving and things like that. But one of the things that did make me laugh was that one day he couldn't find anything to be worried about. So he began to get worried that he'd forgotten something that he should be worried about, which always made me laugh.
That's kind of a double whammy.
It is, isn't it? Yes. But yeah, I certainly have inherited that worry gene, and it's one of the things that I would love to improve on, definitely. So,
well, yeah, and I guess there's kind of two, I suppose, broad stroke areas where people get worried. Some people, unfortunately, like your father, are a bit of what we call worry warts. They're just worrying about something all the time. Yeah. And for them, that's almost become a state of their identity. It's a state of being. It's a part of their identity. Whether it may not be something that they want, but they've kind of trained themselves over the years. And maybe your father learned from his father that's the way it needs to be. That you can't get too optimistic about something. That you need to worry about something. But sometimes people do it so often, or they're surrounded by people that do it, that they think that that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But of course, it doesn't have to be. And then I guess the other kind of scenario is more specific situational worry, where it's, you know, maybe you're worried about something that's happening at work at the moment, or you're worried about, you know, the health of a loved one at the moment, or it could be anything. You're worried about your car. You're worried about the bill that you're going to get from your car breaking down. And so there's kind of a situational worry as well. And of course, if you have lots of situations of worry, then that probably leads to your identity of being a worry.
Mm.
So there probably are slightly different, I suppose, solutions, if you want to look at it that way, or ways to break out of that. But there's probably a lot of similarities to stop being such a worrier at all times.
Yeah, I do find myself occasionally mulling over. I think initially it feels like I'm just mulling over something. But right. Certainly after, you know, lying awake in bed, mulling it over for an hour and a half to 2 hours, think that's worrying. Mm. That's usually the time when I think, okay, I just need to stop thinking about it, because it's really not fixing anything lying here in the dark, awake, thinking about it.
Yeah. And that's interesting you talk about mulling, because, you know, it begs the question, is mulling the precursor to worry? Or, you know, if you find yourself in a state of mulling, it can kind of go one or two ways. It's either you resolve it and you decide what you're going to do, or you don't. And often worry is exactly that, isn't it? It's something that you haven't quite resolved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do find that once I've got, I think you're right, when you start off, you're mulling something over. But after a while, if it becomes very sort of extended, it becomes a worry rather than a mulling. And if you've got to the stage of worrying about it, you're no longer being productive at that point. You're simply going over the same old ground again and again and again, and not really getting any closer to a resolution. And that's usually the best time to stop thinking about it.
So do you think actually someone can, when they find themselves in a state of worry about something, they could actually hit the reverse button, the rewind button, and back up until they get back into, oh, when I was mulling this over, what was I thinking at that time? And then maybe choosing a different path, choosing a different decision, choosing a different action, or choosing to act on it.
There's definitely a requirement there somewhere to break the cycle of the worrying in the first place. If you can somehow break that worry cycle, either by taking a break or just putting it to one side for a moment or something like that, because clearly there is an issue there and you want to resolve it and you're looking in your own mind to try and come up with a solution. But there's definitely something there about breaking it and coming back to it, or maybe getting some help from other people.
Well, yeah, and you say a couple of phrases there that I thought were really interesting. You talked about it being a cycle. Mm. And when we were talking earlier, it's often what worry becomes is a cyclone.
Yes.
In your own mind. And you mentioned trying to resolve it in your own mind as well. And I've always said that the mind is the most powerful computer in the world, but it's really crap at organizing things. And it's really crap at often resolving things, especially when it's multifaceted and complex. And then you throw in a cyclone when it starts throwing that trash around your mind quite fast.
Mm.
And it is really crap at resolving something when you're in a deep state of worry. So one of the simplest things, the simple ways to break that cycle, because often what it is people want to go from a state of worry to a state of solution and happiness. Mm. Or some other positive emotion. And it's not often just a black or white in a moment. You can just snap your fingers and you're changed. But it's really, really key that people can find a way to break the cycle or break the cyclone. And one of the easiest ways is just to write it down. You know, when you write, it's amazing how things, when you get things out of your mind and on paper, mm. and you just write down. And if you ask yourself the question, what am I worried about? What am I really, or what within that am I really worried yeah. about? And if you actually wrote that down on paper, it's amazing how the emotion, whatever you call it, could be worry, could be anxiety, could be panic, but whatever negative emotion you have, when you write something down, you look at it, it's amazing in so many cases how that emotion just dissipates.
I was going to say, I can remember doing this once before and actually thinking that once you've written it down, you then look at it and you, the way that you phrased it, because you've written it in a proper sentence as well, seems to completely clarify the situation. And then it seems to be much, much easier to actually decide, well, actually, this isn't really a problem. Why am I thinking about it at all?
Yeah, exactly. You know, a really, really simple example that we can all relate to at some point is around the worry of money.
Mm.
And let's say that an unexpected bill comes in. It's you've had to get your car fixed and there's an extra 500 pounds, or let's call it 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And you're worried about how am I going to pay for that? And what could happen is you end up in this mental cyclone of worrying about that bill, which becomes, and if you can picture a cyclone funnel or a tornado funnel, it often gets really sharp at the bottom, but it's quite wide at the top. And what happens is a lot of our worry, as we get in this, we get our mind spinning around and around, we actually start to rise up that cyclone, and our worry starts to get wider and wider and wider. And so you have this situation where you've suddenly got to pay an extra 100 pounds for your car. You're worried about, you know, should that have happened? Is the mechanic ripping me off? Where am I going to get that money from? I'm not going to get paid for another couple of weeks. I'm not going to be able to go out. I've got to really crack back on my saving. And it starts to go big and big and big and big. When all of a sudden, you know, and if you wrote that down and you said, I need to pay a 100-pound bill. Do I have that 100 pounds in my bank account? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If it's a yes, then hey, nothing to worry about. I can pay that bill. Yes, you may need to make some other changes. But over the course of a month or over the course of 2 months, you can probably find a way to save or not spend an extra 100 pounds. Mm. You know, maybe it's a night in with your friends rather than a night out. But there are basically what happens is when you write it down, you suddenly, yeah, you get really clear on what the problem is and you start to find solutions rather than just getting caught in this vortex.
Mm. Definitely. It definitely is something I've done in the past and probably not something I do often enough, considering that I do class myself as a bit of a worrier. So definitely going to dig out my old notepad and keep that by the bedside.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I found that exactly. I've many times over my career, I've woken up in the middle of the night with, or not being able to sleep even. And you know what's so funny is I've even got to the point where I have literally had a piece of paper beside my bed and a pen. And in the dark, I've grabbed that piece of paper and I've written down my thoughts, or I've written down all the things I'm worrying about, all the things I need to do the next day. And I've written them down. I can't even see what I'm writing.
Mm.
because it completely, I don't turn the light on to the point where I can't even, you know, I wake up in the morning and I've, it looks like I've written the whole thing with my wrong hand. but just that it sparks a release. It sparks a release to say, I know I've got it down on paper. I'm not going to even try to resolve any of these points right now. But what I've been doing for the last half hour is spinning around in my head the 10 things I need to remember in the morning. But it's amazing that even by just writing it down and not even being able to see it because it's in the dark, not even spending any more time thinking about it, I just put that piece of paper down and I'm like, okay, now it's out of my head. There's no point in worrying. I'm going to sleep. And it works. Mm. It's stupid. It works.
I do like the dark thing. I think I'm going to have to give that a go as well.
Because it also makes you go back to sleep easier as well, because you don't have to turn the light on and get blinded and everything else.
And certainly trying to string something together into a sentence at that point in the middle of the night, it's going to be quite difficult anyway. So I guess that will limit to you to just writing down a few words, which will make things a lot easier too.
Yeah. So beyond just writing it down, do you have any other tips or any other thoughts on how people can, I guess, either break that cycle or stop themselves from getting that cycle in the first place?
For me, it's always going to be the identification of when it's crossed over from mulling to worrying. I tend to do most of my worrying just before going to bed or lying in bed, waiting to go to sleep. And the way that I would do it myself is, if I'm happy to allow myself to mull something over, but I will give myself a time limit to do that. So a maximum of 10 minutes or something like that, something quite limiting. And then once I've given myself that time, I will then say, okay, well, I've done all that I can do tonight. There's obviously nothing I can do now. I'm lying in bed. You know, there's nothing else there I can do. And then just put that to one side and let myself just drift off to sleep, because I feel like I've achieved something in allowing myself to think about it, but I've doubly achieved something in putting that to one side and letting myself get back to sleep as well.
Right. That's very good. And I think the other thing, that the tip that I've picked up and I use is similar to your point of when I've been mulling something over and I suddenly transition into a worry, is whenever you, and worry is essentially, it's a negative emotion, right? It's a state that we can be in that doesn't really help us. Mm. All solutions are going to come from a more empowering and positive place. So the key is, when you start to feel that negative emotion, whether it's, and I mean literally feel, when you feel yourself getting worried by tensing up or breathing a bit more shallow or getting butterflies in your stomach, the way to think of that is, and again, it's a consciousness or it's an awareness thing that, I'm entering a bad place or a place that may get bad, and that just becomes a trigger. So as soon as you feel that negative emotion build up, it immediately is a trigger. It's like hitting your brake pedal in your car. I must stop right now, rather than indulging in and really immersing myself in this negative emotion of worry. I'm just going to get a trigger and say, you know what, if I'm about to go into worry, that means that I need to try a different approach. I need to think about this in a different way. I need to ask for advice. I need to write down what I am worried about. I need to get really, really clear on what specifically I'm worried about in that scenario. Rather than, as you often say, is crawling under the pillow and pulling a pillow over your head and saying, hope the problem goes away. But I think it's just using that negative emotion. As soon as you start to see that negative or feel that negative emotion come in, just use that as a trigger to say, I need to change my approach in some way.
So is there anything else that you can do, maybe external to yourself, either, you know, engaging other people, or is there something else that maybe can help you identify when that becomes a worry?
I think certainly engaging other people, asking for a different opinion. People will see things from a different perspective. That's absolutely going to make a big help. And you know, it's a simple thing of just talking through your concerns with someone else, and they'll not only is that it's a feeling of release when you can talk through someone's worry or talk through your own worry. It's a release, and as you talk it out loud, even talking something out loud, even if it's to yourself, can often be quite cathartic. And it goes from a cyclone in your mind to actually speaking about it, and the better one is actually writing it down.
Yes. It seems to, the thing seems to be, is that you were saying about braking, slowing down, putting the brakes on, and by doing that you break the cyclone. Because the things that we've been saying are writing things down, that's going to slow you down because you have to construct a sentence and actually write something on paper. Speaking up to a friend or a colleague or a family or partner or something, that's going to slow you down because you have to verbalize it and you have to construct, again, another proper sentence. It all comes back to you mentioning about the putting the brakes on.
Yeah, no, all little things, and I think everyone just has to kind of try what works for them in different scenarios, different situations. But I think the key thing with that and the key takeaway I love our listeners to take from this is there is a way, and there is a way to quickly shift your emotion of worry. And so you don't have to be someone like your father who indulges in that worry state and becomes a quote-unquote worrier and starts to label themselves as that. Because we all know that worrying doesn't help. It may help in getting really emotionally connected with a situation. You know, if you're concerned about something that's really important, of course that sometimes happens. But you have a choice, and everybody has a choice to either remain in that state of worry or realize that there's probably a better way to handle the situation or a better way to get clarity. And I'm going to do myself a favor because I've got the intelligence to do that. But I'm going to do myself a favor and I'm going to break this cycle now because being in this state of worry is no longer serving me.
Absolutely.
It's no longer helping me to resolve this and I need to change my way. Yeah. And of course, they can always contact us at actionpodcast.com. If you want to, if there's anything that's worrying you right now, then please, drop Paul or myself an email at paul@actionpodcast.com or chris@actionpodcast.com. And also go online and send us a comment on the blog that we've just posted. And we'd love to hear what your thoughts are and some of the tips and tricks that you've got to break out of your own
worry. Absolutely. We've got a few commenters who frequently log onto the website now, so I'm looking forward to hearing what their comments are going to be on this. And thanks very much for your time, Chris. It's putting my ease at rest and stopping me worrying so much.
Excellent. Mission accomplished.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, thanks,
Paul.
Speak soon. Bye. So to recap, the key thing about worry when you find yourself in a state of worry is to break that cycle. Break that cyclone. And the three best ways to do that, or the three steps to doing that, is number one, write it down. Write it down, get it out of your mind, and get it down on paper, and immediately you'll feel emotionally much stronger and more confident. Number two is get really, really clear on the specific point that you are worried about in that scenario. Often your worry can cause a big fog, but get really specific so you can be really clear on what thing you need to change. And the third thing is to change your approach. Is once you're really clear on that point, find a different way to address that problem that certainly does not involve worry. And you'll be in a better state in no time.